Hey, it's Tony Bruschi from Real Ghost Stories Online. As we enter into another year of the podcast, I can't thank you enough for listening and hopefully your support. With more options than ever before for podcast listening, supporting this program and becoming an extra podcast person is more important than it ever has been in the past. And I always try and make it worth your while to be a supporter. For only $5 a month as an EPP, an extra podcast person, here's what you get. You get access to our bonus episodes, brand new ones every single week, more than 300 in the archive that you get with our best ghost stories. You get a free e-copy of our best-selling book, Real Ghost Stories, Haunting Encounters Told by Real People. You also get the audiobook version of it as well. In addition to that, you're going to get advanced episodes of our program released to you weeks before they go to the public, and they're commercial free. So if you're a big listener of the show, you want to cut the ads out, you want to cut this plea out as well, become an EPP, an extra podcast person at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. You're going to get all of that. On top of that, you also get access to our video archive of our episodes of Seeing Ghosts with new episodes coming in 2020. You get advanced ticket sale options when we go and do live shows so you can get seats before everybody else, and a whole lot of other extras throughout the year as a supporter of our program for only $5 a month. Please consider supporting the show. You guys spending that $5 a month as a whole is what keeps this alive. Without the support, we will not exist. So if you listen, if you've been an EPP in the past, please consider signing back up to be an extra podcast person and help this show survive. We love doing it, but we can only do it with your support. Ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. And thank you for your support. What do you do when spirits make it impossible to sleep? Blankets being pulled away, disembodied voices in the middle of the night, and more. That's what we hear about today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you want access to all of our bonus material, EPP bonus episodes, extra podcast person is what EPP stands for. New ones every single week. About 300 of them up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. $5 a month gets you a ticket into all of that. Access to everything there you can binge your way on. As well as advanced episodes of the program. We release those as we make them, and they're weeks before they go to the public, and they're all ad-free. So you can get the show right there. Nice and convenient, and all for you for only $5 a month. Ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Tony and Jenny Bruschi joining you once again.
Hi.
And what excitement do you have to share with us today?
Don't have any.
You don't have anything.
No, I'm
not show prepping at all. Are you
boring?
Nothing.
I'm sorry.
Absolutely nothing. This is interesting. You know, you ever get the feeling where you just kind of have intuition about something, and yeah. Sometimes I think people throw that into the paranormal realm. Where, well, how would I know that, or why would I know that? And I don't know. I think some of it kind of goes down to just social cues, and it's things that we don't necessarily pick up on. But I think sometimes there is something. Mm-hmm. Where it's like, no, something's stepping in and saying, "There's you got to be aware," whether it's that blatant or not. But people have that.
Yeah.
Anyway, I found this interesting article about people sharing their gut feelings that saved them from danger. Mm-hmm. And gut feeling, I think, encompasses a lot, you know, where it can be paranormal. It can be you're picking up on social cues and all that. And I wanted to go through some of them because I thought they were really interesting.
Okay.
And we can talk about some here. Maybe we'll get some more in the show. But this one started where it says, I was at a farmer's market in Chico, California with my wife. I'm tall and white, and my wife is Asian and vertically challenged, as the author says. And over the crowd, I saw two very rough-looking gentlemen, one really tall and the other short with a tattoo on his forehead, like Charles Manson. So some social cues right there.
Yeah.
Little tattooed man and I made eye contact maybe 50 feet away, and he gestured to his friend and then pointed at me. I alerted my wife and told her we were leaving immediately. She thought I was majorly overreacting and wanted to continue shopping, but I overruled her and left. Maybe 6 months later, we were watching America's Most Wanted, and guess who showed up for double slayings?
Oh, gosh.
Two buddies. We still talk about that from time to time. It still gives me goosebumps 15 years later. So, social cues.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, there, but also it makes you wonder, what is it? Why did they connect from 50 feet away?
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever have that happen when you're like at a store or something, and for whatever reason, somebody's like fixated on you, and you're not even like fixated on them. You're just kind of like looking around, and you just kind of like, this person's staring at me. You know, or you just notice they continue to. And it's not like in any sort of like flirty sense. I'm not talking about that, because I'm sure women get that more than men do.
More like they're staring at you, trying to figure out where they know you from.
Where they know you from, or you don't even know why. Like, you just don't know why the hell they're looking at you. If they know you from anything or not. It's just a weird fixation. And it happens sometimes. And it just, it always kind of makes me wonder, like, what is that? Is there something, people get confused and think they know you from something or don't.
Mm-hmm.
And that's innocent enough. But in this case, why, maybe the two criminals were just really concerned that somebody was going to identify them and they noticed this guy was looking their way.
Yeah.
But you'd think they would get that a lot, considering how they, with the tats and the Charles Manson tattoo. That's not like a normal everyday.
No, I mean, people with a lot of tattoos, you see that all the time.
Yeah.
But not a Charles Manson tattoo.
Yeah.
No.
That I think would, and I don't know. It's just weird. Another says, where is it here? A firefighter saving a crew from fallen power lines. Says, I'm a firefighter. We got called out to a tree fire started by fallen power lines. Pulled up to the truck, and I'm trusting that my driver and crew leader are doing their job and having good situational awareness. Get out of the truck. We've parked next to a set of power lines, not fallen. Very windy night, and I can see the lines swinging, and I voice my concerns to the crew member, who says it'll be fine. We get the hose out. Risk of the tree fire catching onto the house overweighing potential risk of arching, plus the line disconnected when it fell. And I'm on the branch ready to start pulling it out with two others near me when I get a chill. I look up to see the line swinging violently and yell, "Everyone fucking move." As the three of us sprint to dive out of the way, we hear the thwip and the crack. And sure enough, the line we were under came loose and stayed contacted to the power pole. If I hadn't felt that chill, chances are we would have had three dead firefighters.
I've never had a situation like that where I could just feel that there was imminent danger that I couldn't see yet.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we hear about that a lot, so I firmly believe that that's something that definitely happens.
And that one right there is almost like an example of situational. You know, you're aware of your surroundings, you're scared,
mm-hmm.
you're concerned, but the chill that hits, mm-hmm. that to me is like something else. It's like something that warned, because that wasn't a, I saw this happened and then I yelled. It was the like warning, like second warning or mm-hmm. massive new warning comes to you and before it happens and then it happens. Mm-hmm. There's something there. And that's where you kind of get into the whole thing. Well, is it a guardian angel? Is it, what is it? I don't know what that is.
I don't know.
But there's something there. Interesting stuff. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us, to share all that stuff. Let's go to our first letter today. It says, "Hi guys, just came across your podcast and I'm officially addicted. Great stories to get me through my workday. My name's Katie from Torrance, California. I have quite a few of them. I'll start with the scariest thing that has ever happened to me. I've always been sensitive to paranormal and empathic. I believe the two go hand in hand. For insight into this, the apartment I lived most of my childhood was haunted by a little girl that drowned in the bathtub. My grandmother told me later that she would hear me speaking to someone that wasn't there. When asked who it was, I told her it was a little girl that lives in the bathtub. This all took place when I was a toddler. I have no recollection, but it's helped me realize that I've always had the ability to either feel or see what others don't. Flash forward, my mother married and we moved to Victorville, California. The house we moved into was built for us, so it's strange that it had so much activity almost immediately. We turned lights out for bed and they'd almost immediately turn back on. I'd see a little girl in the laundry room down the hall from my bedroom. The house had four bedrooms. Mine was down its own hall next to the garage, so it was separate from the rest of the house. I had many experiences in the house while living there, some scarier than others. Out of all the spirits I saw, the scariest was a dark figure that stayed in the hallway leading to my bedroom. This story is about my experience with it. I've always had trouble falling asleep. I suffer from severe insomnia, but it was always worse when I was in that house. I finally drifted off to sleep, probably around 3 a.m., when I started to feel something tugging on my blanket. Being half asleep, I pulled it back over me and turned over. Again, my blanket started to be pulled, and I suddenly felt as though I couldn't move. I opened my eyes at the foot of my bed, and there stood a large, dark figure. Although I couldn't see a face, I knew it was a man. My blanket was ripped completely off, and I grabbed my legs, and this time, I am still paralyzed. My voice was stuck in my throat. I could hear myself screaming in my head, but I could not vocalize it. He towered over my bed, and I felt a hot pain on my thigh. I slowly started to be able to move, and I started thrashing. As I was regaining my mobility, the dark figure backed away and disappeared into the corner of my room and finally fully disappeared. I hadn't realized I was screaming until my mom and stepdad entered my room to see what was wrong. The light was turned on and I was able to see that my leg had three long scratches, barely bleeding, even though they looked deep. My mom believed me, my stepdad not so much. He's never believed me regarding anything paranormal. After this, I left the next day and refused to stay in that room by myself. I do not believe that what came to visit me that night was that of a human entity, but instead something evil. My ex-boyfriend was interested in the occult, and I believe it exposed me to things I was unaware of until this. I really enjoy the show and hope to hear my story in an upcoming episode. I have plenty more to share. Thank you.
I would agree. I think something that scratches you with three marks usually is not a human entity. Don't you agree?
I think that that's what is typical. That it's not a human entity, although if I had the ability to screw with people, I would just use three fingernails as a ghost just to be an asshole. It's a demon! No. And then and if I could, in the shower, in the mirror, you know, when it's gets all foggy, I would draw like a picture of the Kool-Aid man. So it'd be really, really random shit where It's like, oh my God, I keep getting those three scratch marks. And there's messages on the mirror, but it's the Kool-Aid man. It's like, nobody's going to fucking believe you when that is where the story goes.
No.
It'll be something totally like that because they're going to expect some like really horrible message, mm-hmm. you know, or warning. And it's going to like swing from one way to the other. Like, then they'll come out, you know, into their living room and their cat will be wearing like a tiara or something. Just shit where it's like, you tell that story to somebody and see where that goes.
Yeah. Gosh.
And that would be the most confusing story ever.
Mm-hmm.
Where it goes, this is really happy and joyous and weird, but then you get the weird scratch marks. Yeah. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Next letter says, my name's Destiny. I'm from Alabama. I've been hooked on your podcast for months now and finally got the nerve to write in. To start, I've never believed in ghosts, spirits. However, I was raised in religion, my great-grandmother being very religious, and I was always taught if I go to hell if I do not obey God. So even though I've never believed in ghosts, I've always been terrified at the thought of demons. It makes no sense, I know. Anyway, my story is about a Ouija board experience. I live next door to my grandparents, and one night my brother, sister, and others were down at my grandparents'. Alea sent me a message and invited me down to play with their Ouija board. I've been drinking that night, which is obviously a big no-no when playing, but I didn't believe in the paranormal and thought it would be fun. I get down there and play with my sister's boyfriend because everyone else had already played and he was the one who was not freaked out. We asked a question and the board immediately started talking. Thing is, though, whoever or whatever they had been talking to, the board said its name was Pam. Previously, was obsessed with my sister-in-law, Alaya. Anything we'd ask, the board would relate to her. We asked a question, it spelled out diaper and baby. Alaya was changing my baby nephew on the dining room table behind us, which was weird. Then, without us asking anything, it started spelling out more things. KZS was the next thing. Everyone was stumped on that one. And right when I went to move on, I realized that's my nephew's initials. Alaya was really bothered at that point because, well, that's her baby. So Alaya takes the baby, walks in the next room. She just wants to be away from it. And then it spells out cross and then neck. We looked around to see if anyone was wearing a cross necklace and no one. We yelled to the living room if anyone in there was wearing a cross necklace. And Alaya starts crying and says she has a cross tattooed on the back of her neck. Okay, now things are just weird. I've been drinking, so I was being a douche and asked if it would like to go home with Alaya. It immediately shot to yes. And the guy I was playing with said, this is just BS. Give us a sign you're here. My grandmother had a grill lighter hanging on the wall, and it flew across the room. My heart started racing. And at that point, I sobered up and decided I didn't want to play anymore. Fast forward a week, my husband and I had been having problems sleeping every night. We heard this weird rattling sound like someone jiggling change in their pockets. My husband would get mad and yell, if anyone's here, you need to leave now. During this time, my mental health started to deteriorate. I'd forgotten all about the board, so I related nothing that was happening to it or things that were to come. All this went on over the course of a month. I was terrified in my own home. I'd hear things, I'd see shadows. One night, my husband got a babysitter and planned a date night for us. Get me out of the house. We had a great night and at the end of the night decided to visit the spot down the road from the house where one of our high school classmates had passed in a car wreck. We got out and looked around and I immediately got freezing cold. I looked at the cross his family had placed there and got back in the car. I had an overwhelming feeling of being watched. On our way home, I looked in my rearview mirror and saw a black figure. It was long and skinny. Its head touched the roof of my car. No facial features or anything, just black. I didn't tell my husband what I saw because I knew I would sound crazy. Creepy things continued to happen. I remember I said I forgot about the Ouija board, so I related none of these things to that. My kids would complain their beds were shaking, their bedroom lights would flicker on and off, and I was hearing change rattling at night. And after seeing the black figure in my car, I started experiencing sleep paralysis every night. I couldn't sleep that night. I couldn't sleep during the day. I was just so scared of everything that continued to happen around me. Eventually, it got so bad I became suicidal because I would have rather died than to live a life like that. I ended up having to check myself into the behavioral medical unit at my local hospital. The first night, there was the most peaceful night I'd had in 2 months. I never told the doctor things that were happening or things I was saying because I knew that there would be a 30-day lockdown. I was discharged after 3 days. My husband picked me up on the way home and I was terrified, but everything ended up being fine from then on. I've never experienced anything else paranormal since then, and I will never, ever touch a Ouija board again. I'd love to hear your thoughts, and thanks for listening.
I wonder if when she asked if it wanted to go home with her, was it her cousin or her aunt?
Yeah, something.
If it took it as an invite to go home with her, with Destiny.
Yeah, I think it's kind of one of those things where if you're asking it if it wants to do something like that, it doesn't really matter exactly who you're addressing that to, of like, want to go with Destiny? I think you're opening up the door for it to come out.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll go with whoever it wants.
Yeah.
At that point. And clearly it picked someone else to hitch a ride with. So, and we really shouldn't have played with a Ouija board the other weekend. That was...
We've not ever done that.
That's a bad idea.
We've never done that.
No, we haven't ever done that. It's interesting. Obviously, these folks, when they were doing it, probably didn't necessarily have the tactics down as far as protecting themselves from it or whatever's out there. But that's something I talk about quite a bit on the other show, on the Grave Talks, where people using Ouija boards, some people will swear and say, no, there are ways to do it completely safe as far as keeping things from following you or entering, you know, into your room or that sort of stuff. But I said, now, is there ever truly a way to stop something like that? And there's, I guess, best practices.
Yeah.
But is there ever a foolproof, you know, unsinkable ship method?
I don't know.
Yeah. I don't believe there is.
Okay.
But some will say there are.
Well, there's a lot of things that unless you're a professional, you shouldn't attempt. And I would think that this could be one of them. Talking to spirits would be one of them.
Wouldn't that be a great, like, high school elective?
What?
Talking to spirits.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
What?
Nothing.
That would have been an interesting class. Taken, like, next to computer technology or something. Mm-hmm. It's, like, just on the other side of the hall. I wonder if that exists, if anybody...
There's no high school that does that. I would lay money. There's no high school that has a talking to spirits class.
Well, maybe it's worded differently. I don't know. That'd be... I could see that being not necessarily 100% like we're going to go talk to spirits in this class type thing, but I could see it being something where it's focusing on, like, alternative religions or something of that nature. And somewhere maybe this exists. I don't know.
Well, I took a history of religion course, and it wasn't all centered on Christianity. It was different religions around the world. And they talked about the importance of communicating with spirits in two different religions, but it was not practiced.
And that's what I'm wondering. That's what I was going to. Like, I wonder if you have, like, your first year out of college student that's teaching that class. That's like, and now for an experiment this year, let's try it. Let's get hands on and see how that works.
And I would have nope the fuck right out of that.
That's what I'm wondering if that's ever happened. I don't think that would be a first if that came in a story. Like, and then our teacher brought out the Ouija board or something. I don't know. 855-853-4802 is our number. At Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Hi, let's hear your story.
Hi. This is Dawn in Arkansas, and I am a new listener. I've only been listening for a couple days, but I have a little story to share. I sold a house I lived in for 5 years a couple years ago, and the whole time I lived in that house, it was pretty new. It was built in 2001. I just had these weird experiences, and since then I've had my friend who's a lawyer do some research, go back and search all the files and try to see if anything happened there in the house or on the land that the subdivision was built in the history or anything. And she never could find anything. But anyways, this house, I always felt like I was followed by a man. I always felt his presence behind me. I always felt like it was a man. I would turn, see my corner of my eye, the shadow, just all the time. And it was irritating more than anything. I have 4 kids. I'm very busy. My youngest is 3. My oldest is 15. So craziness in our house all the time. So I just wrote off everything, just ignored it, you know, just, you know, whatever. I'm seeing things, et cetera, et cetera. One day, I was standing at the kitchen window watching my kids in the swimming pool, and I remember I felt him behind me, and I never felt threatened or like he would hurt me or anything like that. It was just an irritating presence, just always there, just irritating me. And so I was standing there watching my kids, and I remember him feeling him behind me, and I was just like, if I turn around right now, I'm going to see him. I'm finally going to see this thing, person, whatever, that has followed me around for years. I lived there 5 years. So this is about the 3-year mark. And I was just like, finally, I'm going to see him. So I turn around fully expecting to see who has been following me for 3 years at that point. So I turn around. and there's nothing. And I was irritated. I was like, look, dude, just leave me alone. Just go on. You know, I'm tired of you following me around. I'm just sick of it. And one night, my 11-year-old came to me. At the time, he was about 8. And he was like, Mom, we were all upstairs. And he was downstairs by himself. And he was in the formal dining room. He said, Mom, there's a man downstairs in the formal dining room. I was like, what? He's like, yeah, Mom. He's like, I was standing there talking to him. I thought it was Brayden. Or Robbie, my oldest son. He was like, he had his back to me. I was talking to him. And he said, then I come upstairs and Robbie's in his room. So who is the man in the formal dining room? And I was just like, oh, you know, it's your imagination. My kids are really scary, and they, if something spooks them, they're liable to sleep in my bed for the next 6 months because they're terrified to sleep in their own room. So I just, you know, just, oh, it's just your vision playing tricks on you. Nothing, no big deal. Well, I remember the next day after we went to school, I went downstairs and I was mad. And I was like, look, you can follow me around all day. You can irritate me. Just leave my kids out of it, right? Just leave them alone. And if you're going to show yourself to me, not my kids. Just leave my kids out of it. Well, I would go for a few months and I wouldn't see him or sit him behind me. And one night my daughter woke up and she said something. I just put her back to bed. And the next morning I was getting her ready for school. She slept in our room at the time, in our sitting area on a couch. And she had all her blankets all just so, she'd fold them just so. And I stack them next to her little couch. And at the time, she was only like 4 years old. And, but she likes everything just so. And I was getting her ready for preschool. And she was like, Mom, there is an old lady in your room last night. And I was like, what? And she was like, this play old lady with lots of wrinkles and this big old dress. She walked in the door and she came over to me and she got her finger and did this and tried to get me to go with her, but I wouldn't. And I was like, oh, you know, it's a dream, baby, nothing. And she's like, no, Mom, look. And she had stacked some of her little blankets next to the couch, and they had gotten messed up. And she said, look, Mama, I had them folded, and she messed them up. She stood right there on my little blanket, and she messed it up. And she did sit down and get her blankets all fixed back the way they were. And that kind of scared me because it was my kid. She was trying to get my kid to go with her. So I just acted like it was nothing to her. But that day, after they went to school, once again, I was like, look, do what you want to me, but leave my kids out of it. You know, stop. Leave my kids alone, whoever you are, whatever you're doing. Well, we never heard anything else about that. My son, the one that saw the man in the dining room, he did a lot of sleepwalking in that house. He would sleepwalk. He would talk in his sleep, like, all the time. And one night I had heard a noise, and I went out on our little banister balcony upstairs. You could see down into our foyer, and he was in front of our door walking back and forth. And that scared me, because I was afraid he could have opened the door and just walked out. We'd never know. I hadn't set the alarm that night. So went down. He was just talking away to somebody. And he doesn't even see me. He doesn't even know I'm there. I just, you know, getting him and walking back, putting him back to bed. Well, we sold that house like 2 years ago. And my friend, who is my neighbor, we're still friends. And she called me a while back, and she said, I have a story to tell you. My daughter always slept in our room. She never slept in her room. But for whatever reason, my 11-year-old went through a period of sleeping in her room. Don't know why. She just wanted to sleep in her room. So my friend told me, we had sold the house to a family had a family emergency. They had to move to California. And while their house was on the market again, they were renting it to a friend they still had that lived here in town. So that the new people they were renting it to, she came over to my neighbor a couple weeks ago and said, I need to talk to you about something. And my friend was like, okay. She was like, any history with this house that you could tell me? And my friend was like, well, the people who you're renting it from, they had a couple of experiences like with slamming doors and a little girl talking in the upstairs bedroom, the front bedroom, which is my daughter's room. And the people who live there, who they bought it from, they had four kids, and their kids talked about hearing things, seeing things. And I didn't know this, but my son had told my neighbor at that time that he had sat on the stairs and talked to a little girl. Well, whenever my son, his name is Brayden, whenever my friend Laurie told the neighbor that, she said, you know, their son Brayden said he talked to a little girl. The neighbor, she just turned white and she grabbed her arm and she was like, who did you just say? And my friend was like, their son Brayden. And she said, she got her phone out real fast and she went to her notes and she said, look at his name right here. It's Brayden. She said, I went to sleep in that bed last night, and she was sick and went to sleep up there in that bed to keep her husband from being awake with her all night. And she said, I went to sleep and I woke up and a little girl was talking to me. I could hear a little girl's voice. And she said, she kept saying, no one will talk to me. No one will talk to me. The only person who has ever talked to me is Brayden. Brayden is the only person who would talk to me. And which was my son. So anyways, that was a real, this lady didn't even know my son, didn't know the name. She's like, I never heard the name Brayden. That's why she said, that's why I put it in my phone. Like I said, my friend did some research, no history of an old, a man, a woman, a little girl. You don't know when that happened, maybe way back in history at some point. But, anyways, kind of scared me. Her talking about my son, and knowing that at that time my son did a lot of sleepwalking and talking in his sleep. But anyways, that's my story. Thanks, love your show.
That's a good one.
Yeah. What would be better though? Would it be better to have had some evidence show up answering the question of who these people were, or leaving it out into the ether?
I think I would want to know.
Yeah.
Who those people were, especially if they knew who my kid was.
Mm-hmm. I think part of it is just that, though, with these, you're not always going to find the answers. And I don't think it always necessarily means that it's things that happened on their property, or in that sometimes things are just passing through.
Right.
And that they're just there. So thank you for sharing that experience with us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. At Real Ghost Stories Online, be sure to follow us, our personal pages on Instagram, at Tony Bruschi and at Jenny Bruschi. Become an extra podcast person at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories to get all the bonus episodes of the program. Until next time, for Jenny, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.